Greetings, Scotch Potatoes, across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week, we're going to be talking about Life of Pi and Red Dawn and Rise of the Guardians, and plus some DVD and Blu-ray reviews. We'll also be talking a little bit about box office here, because there may have been a some Karl Rove number crunching.
A little upset.
On my end. But before we get to that, this is Thanksgiving week.
Yes, it is.
I don't know whether you noticed that. But
yeah, I did notice that.
Yeah. So we're thankful for a lot of things. We're thankful that we have a radio show. And we're thankful for our new affiliates.
We are.
Yes. So we want to just give a little shout out to them. We've, of course, got our flagship station for Michigan Talk Network on 1340 WJRW in Grand Rapids, Michigan. But we'd also like to welcome 1250 WNEM in Saginaw.
Hello.
And 1490 WKLQ in Whitehall.
Hello.
And 1240 WJIM in Lansing.
And so, hello to you.
Hello to all of you. Thank you so much for listening. And hey, welcome to the show. You can now commence being awesome now that we're on your airwaves. Speaking of awesome, there was a little bit of an upset this week.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, somebody gloated.
Hey. There's a story behind that. Should we talk about the story behind that?
Sure, tell the story. 1 week of me winning.
No, should we talk about coming into the screening in the morning?
Yeah.
And instead of being accosted by angry people who wanted my seat, I was accosted by Twilight opening numbers.
Mm.
And somebody who shall remain nameless attacked me with these numbers saying about how, oh, I'm going to be right. I am so right. And you're so wrong.
Well, some selective memory going on.
Oh,
here.
No. And then at the end of the conversation, it was, oh, this is so much fun. And, the competition is so much fun. And, someday, months from now, you might start winning and then it won't be fun anymore. So I'm just saying, when I saw the box office numbers, yeah, I was going to gloat a little bit.
You throw in a little bit of gloating, and you're like, 142 million, ha, ha, ha. And I'm like, I'm going to be like Karl Rove. I'm going to say, hey, let's wait for all these other counties and districts to report who saw Twilight. But no, that's right. My wonderful co-host, Kristen Dreyer Kramer, was right with her, closest, I guess you could say, with the prediction. Because it was $141 million for the sort of like 3 1/10 day spread for Twilight from Thursday night's 10 o'clock all the way to Sunday was $141 million. And that's just shy of the $142.8 million franchise record of New Moon. But yes, that does put you closer. Although if we use Price is Right numbers, I'd win.
It's true.
So, but then you could have just been like, well, I said, for those who want to know the record, I said $132 million. You would have been like $132 million and $1, Drew. So, yeah, it's $141 million for Breaking Dawn 2. Did a little bit better than I thought it would, and I think part of that has to do with the fact that it got some better reviews, because the last one got wrecked.
Yeah, I think a lot of the reviews, though, were a little bit like ours.
Yeah, lot were, yeah.
It wasn't so bad as the last one, so,
Well, I think that contributed to guys going, okay, fine, I'll go with you. I hear there's some cool stuff in it, or at the very least, it'll be funny.
Yes. And that's what I said in my review.
Yeah. And I think
that, at least there's something amusing to see in there.
This is way better than the last
one. I had a great time.
Of course, I saw somebody complaining, being like, well, you went in with a biased attitude. I'm like, if any movie in existence you can come in with some sort of prejudging, it's this one. Because it's the fifth in the series. It's also the second of a two-part movie where everybody, from the director to the cinematographer to the makeup artist,
they're all the same.
So, anywho, then Skyfall came in with $41 million, and by now it's at 100. Well, at the end of the weekend, it was 161. By the midweek, by Thanksgiving, it's already going to be the highest Bond record. Whenever the numbers come through at the end of the weekend, we'll see. But it'll be well above the 168. I think that Quantum Solace did.
Not bad.
And Lincoln did $21 million, which just made over $21 million. It's like 22.5 because there wasn't much before it.
But, that's because of us.
Yeah, exactly. That was us. We did that.
Right. Because we have been called
the most influential voices in film.
Exactly.
Probably said it properly, not me. but that did play it above expectations, which is cool. It's good to see. I said I thought I may have been a little too high. I think I said like 30. But still, 22, 21 million for
Lincoln. That's
not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad at all. Then you had Wreck-It Ralph, Flight, Argo, Taken 2, kind of in the same descending order. Silver Lining Playbook did not do as well.
No, not so much.
Yeah, and it made $443,000, and it was in five more theaters than Lincoln's limited run,
mm-hmm.
and it made less than a third of the per-screen average.
Sorry,
David O. Russell.
Is he Canadian?
No. Okay. I'm just watching a lot of Kids in the Hall.
Okay.
So I'm just saying wondering. Sorry a lot. And your husband's Canadian.
Yes.
So anything to make fun of him.
I speak Canadian occasionally.
And he eats bacon and...
He eats bacon?
Does he? Well, Canadian bacon, not real bacon. Not American bacon.
No, we generally eat real bacon.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Got that out of his system. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. If you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysofthemovies.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. Sorry, folks in Michigan, you're going to have to use a long-distance number because we're too cheap to get an 800 number. And plus, everyone has cell phones. Long distance doesn't even exist anymore.
Right. It doesn't matter. If it's a problem, you can email us.
Yeah. Email us at fatguys@fatguysofthemovies.com. Or you can go to fatguysofthemovies.com. You can go to Facebook Facebook.com.
It should be Fatbook.
It should be Fat. We should get that. Can we steal that now? Fatbook. Facebook.com/FGATM. Twitter. I'm Twitter at Kevin Carr. At Kevin Carr, your KDK reviews.
Yes, I am.
And you can also get you where else?
Nightsandweekends.com and realdiscovery.org.
Yes. We now have a real discovery to make. Wasn't that a great segue?
It was beautiful.
And brilliant. Stand back. The genius. You're going to be like radio. You're going to just be like radiated with my alpha waves from my brain. Anyways, let's talk about Red Dawn.
Let's do that.
Which is about a ragtag group of high school kids who take to guerrilla warfare to defend their town and their country from invading North Koreans.
They mess with the wrong family.
How did this happen?
There's a new class of weapon. Everything went offline and never came back. They wipe us out, including U.S. Central Command.
What am I supposed to do?
I'm going to fight. Anybody who wants to join is welcome to it. We'll hit them on our terms.
We're the Wolverines.
We create chaos. And we inherited our freedom. Now it's up to all of us to fight for it.
Now you missed this, as we pointed out last week, and you missed the epic battle that took place.
I know.
Prior,
I really don't care about missing the movie, but I'm really sad that I missed the kerfuffle before the movie.
Did you see the original? Have you seen the original Red Dawn?
I don't think I've seen it all the way through, no.
It's one of those weird, almost Brat Pack movies,
mm-hmm.
because it had, like, Charlie Sheen, and it had Patrick Swayze. It had Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey in it.
Right.
And he doesn't leave Baby in a Corner, but she is left on the ground to blow up with a grenade.
Oh.
Leah Thompson's
Spoiler.
In it. Yeah. And, you know, they have some big names. Powers Booth is in it. Powers mm-hmm. Booth, the character who's played by – the Powers Booth character in this one is played by who's the guy from Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
Okay.
And I'm like, why didn't they just get Powers Booth to play him again?
Yeah.
Because he totally could have done it. He's about Jeffrey Dean Morgan's age.
Maybe
a little older. Anyways, this one has Chris Hemsworth and Josh Hutcherson and Josh Peck. Look, here's the thing. The original Red Dawn was some sort of right-wing patriotic fever dream from mm-hmm. John Milius, you know, who just kind of came off of Conan.
Right.
To do this movie. So you can't expect anything sane coming out of this film. And it's ridiculous. The Russians invade, and where do they invade? They don't make a beachhead. Like in this one, they at least invade in a coastal state. They invade Spokane, Washington, even though that's way inward.
Yeah, well,
which
close
is not,
enough.
Not the ideal place to like land a campaign. They didn't like storm. Like when the U.S. stormed the beach at Normandy, they didn't like... You know, they didn't storm Central Europe. They stormed the beach. So in the original, they take over this little town in Colorado, almost literally the center of the country geographically. Somehow that's yeah. where the Russians said, that's where we're going to take over from.
A small town in Colorado because that is the center of our country.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how that
both
works.
Both literally and figuratively.
Yeah. In this one, they go after a bigger... city. It works. It's a remake. It's the same kind of thing. It was a PG-13 rated movie. They pull a couple more punches, but it kind of rocks. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk Life of Pi and Rise of the Guardians. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Just a couple more things on Red Dawn, because we're talking about that before the break. The cast is okay. Chris Hemsworth is good. Josh Peck is okay.
Thor.
He's Thor. He's probably the best part of it, and it's very clear. It's sort of like Cabin in the Woods, where you're like, yeah, this is the guy who's going somewhere.
Right.
Josh Hutcherson's pretty decent in it. Josh Peck's a little cheesy. And, like, Isabella Lucas looks like she has cancer.
Oh.
Because she looks terrifying. She's very thin.
It's true. She is very thin.
She needs to eat, like, a sandwich.
Or three.
And some gravy.
Maybe go to McDonald's.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'm sure she's like, she, like, takes, like, a fry. Like, oh, I'm full. She's going to look horrifying when she gets older. And when I say older, I mean like 28.
Like Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah.
Because like, Lindsay Lohan looks like she's about 49.
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan looks like somebody pushed her off the back of a bus and she just rolled.
Poor Lindsay.
And then got caught in something and they got run over. Lindsay, have you seen her teeth? She's got new teeth on, but you don't want to know.
No, I haven't seen her teeth.
Her teeth look horrifying. Hmm. She looks like a meth addict.
Do you think if I search Lindsay Lohan teeth on Google that I would find it?
Yes, you absolutely would.
Okay.
I dare you to. On the break, I will search that for you and prove to you the nastiness of Lindsay Lohan's teeth. Anyways.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that. So let's rush through this next part.
Yeah, let's. But anyways, yeah, Red Dawn is it's a perfectly fine movie. It's an exploitation flick. It's ridiculous and stupid. They change a couple things and they softball a couple things. And it gets really ridiculous at times. It's not a movie that needed to be remade, but they did. That's about it. It's like, it's okay. That's my review.
Nice. If only people could see what you're doing when you make noises like that.
Did I look like a Muppet? Because I'm doing the Movember thing. I'm growing out. I see you're growing out your mustache, too.
Yes. Yes, I am.
But I'm growing out my mustache.
How am I doing? Am I doing okay?
You got a little bit more to come.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll keep working on it.
Yeah.
You might have to take a few more years.
Trim a little bit.
A few more Novembers.
But now my mustache, see, you can hear this, too. I'm even twirling it.
Really?
I now look like
you think they can hear that?
Yeah. Here, listen. That's me twirling my mustache.
Nice.
I now can, like, do this. I twirl it up, and I point my beard, and now I look like a 1920s boxer.
You do, actually.
I just need, like, the leopard skin, and I can, like, I should walk around with just a leopard skin.
With, like, the suspender thingies?
Yeah, like, yeah. The loincloth, and, like, I should get, like a metal bar and put giant black balloons on either side and have it say, like, 1,000 pounds, and just walk down the street like that. Because if you ever noticed, those guys were all fat.
Yeah.
They were big guys, but they were just, I mean, they were like, and they weren't just like chubby. They were really freaking huge. So.
Okay, well,
with
that's
that,
something to do next week.
Something else that's really
this
freaking
weekend,
huge.
Over the holiday weekend. Yeah. That would be something nice to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Here we are talking about nothing right now with Kevin Carr and Derek Kramer on Fat Guys at the Movies. What do we got coming up next? We got another big movie opening this week.
We have Life of Pi, which tells the story of a young man who survives a storm at sea, only to find himself alone on a lifeboat with a Bengal tiger.
So I was sitting in this coffee house, and this old man at the table next to me struck up a conversation.
He said you had an amazing story.
Let's see then, where to begin?
I was born and raised in one of the most beautiful places on earth. It was a time filled with wonder that I'll always remember. But when my family chose to move our zoo halfway around the world, that is when my greatest journey began.
That sounded more like the jaguar that Bella...
It did kind of sound like a jaguar.
Bella killed in the Twilight movie.
So, Life of Pi is by Ang Lee, who did Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon...
Tiger!
Right. And also... Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
And,
I won't randomly yell things about Brokeback Mountain.
Okay. I was waiting for that. Did you hear the pause?
Because we'll get kicked off of those affiliates we just said hello to. That's sick.
So it's no surprise that this movie is absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous. And it's in 3D.
Yeah. And good 3D.
Yes. Which is not something you usually see with award season dramas.
No.
That's
true. You
usually do those in 3D.
Every now and then you'll see a 3D movie that comes out, but it's going to be something like The Hobbit or... You know, like
Avatar.
Last year, yeah, Avatar, and last year you had Tintin.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, gorgeous movie. Little bit dull.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I was pretty much captivated.
Really?
Yeah.
I
which
think,
you don't see me do. I don't.
No,
that's not my kind of movie.
That's not your style.
Yeah.
And I think I liked it in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, they set up the characters and they set up the story, and it's a little wacky here and there, and they've got like quirky little characters, and then all of a sudden you're in the middle of the sea. On a boat. with a tiger.
Yeah.
And there's a long time in the middle of the sea in a boat with a tiger.
Yeah.
So it drags out a little bit.
It does go on at times.
It does.
We'll just say that. But I felt it necessary. Like movies like last year, you had Tree of Life, which just went on and on and on, just needlessly and
it's
stupidly.
It's still going on.
But I really felt, I thought Life of Pi, the choices it made and what it did in order, even in its deliberateness,
mm-hmm.
I thought it worked for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of it was Ang Lee trying to give you that sense of being just kind of lost at sea, so you wanted to have a little bit of aimlessness and despair.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that. I do understand that. Just, I could have used a little less of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, part of it is with me, part of the reason why I was fascinated by it was I kind of liked the way it was broken up into kind of separate chunks. You had the chunk before the wreck,
mm-hmm.
before the sea, the sinking of the ship. And that's this story of this guy just living his life in India and, mm-hmm. and what he's dealing with in his family drama, that sort of thing. And then the last half is a very personal drama with him and I will never forgive Ang Lee for what he did in The Hulk, you know, 9 years ago.
Yes.
But he does the same stuff in this, only it's way more appropriate for this movie.
Okay.
Whereas The Hulk, you're like, why are we showing moss growing in The Hulk? This one makes total sense.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And what's interesting is there's – it did inspire me to do a bit of a scientific experiment when I got home.
With bananas?
Yes. Okay. I won't go into it because it might be a bit of a spoiler, but...
Is it really?
I don't know. It's a big question, and because I looked it up on the internet, and a lot of... When you write that in, the question about bananas, it takes you to Life of Pi discussion pages.
Interesting.
And then I ended up started reading some of these because it's all the people who read the book, and for like college course or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't read the book. I just see the movies. Waiting for the Bible.
Kevin doesn't read.
Yeah.
Can you read?
I can.
Oh, okay.
I just fake it, though.
Just checking.
I have a little man on my shoulder who whispers in my ear. He can read.
Okay. Well, at least you have that.
I'm an insane madman. Madman, actually, because there's one on my shoulder. But no, he does. And they actually go into a discussion on some of the questions that are left in the end. And there's actually a deeper richness to the book. And there's a lot more to the book. Did you read the book?
I didn't, no.
What is wrong with you?
I read other things.
You know, Fox sent me the book because I'm in the BFCA, and so they sent BFCA members the book. I got the book on like Friday, and our screening was on Monday. And I'm like, I'm never going to read this.
No,
I read one chapter, and I learned that it dealt with zoology, and he's an Indian who had to learn to eat differently when he was around Brits.
Okay,
you can't use your fingers. Apparently, in Indian culture, a lot of like in other cultures, like Indonesians, will just use their hands.
Oh, sure, But you can't do that around Brits.
You're not supposed to, unless you're like at BW3s. Unless you're eating fish and chips, mate. The worst British accent.
Another one of those things. I really wish I had a camera here so that our listeners could see what you do when you make these noises.
I move around and twirl my mustache. What's your grade on Life of Pi?
I'm going to say kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give a full on rocks. It's actually, the more I think about it, the more I like the movie.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll have to see it again. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. And we just finished talking about Life of Pi.
Life of Pi. Pie. And what says Thanksgiving better than pie?
Pie. Yes.
It's not the same kind of pie.
No, it's not a pumpkin pie.
I made a pumpkin pie last night.
Did you?
Yep.
And how was it?
It was delicious. And I made homemade whipped cream where I actually whipped the cream with like sugar and vanilla.
These are the joys of being a fat guy at the movies.
I didn't bring you any, though. I should have.
I know. Thanks a lot for that.
Yeah.
We finished off a whole cake, though, so.
Well, you're working on it.
My brother-in-law was in town, so.
You're working on being a fat guy.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, we'll get the fat thing out of the way, and then.
Yeah, the guy part might be a little harder.
Well. they can do stuff nowadays, I hear.
Great. We'll work on that.
Should we talk about the next movie? The kids movie.
Let's do that.
Let's move away from weird stuff.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Rise of the Guardians. Jack Frost is offered a position as a guardian of children to help Santa, the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, and the Sandman defeat the Boogeyman.
There he is.
Jack Frost.
Santa. Wow. Wow.
The Big Four, all together. Santa Claus, Tooth Fairy, Sandman, and the Easter Kangaroo.
The what?
I'm a bunny.
It is our job to protect the children of the world. Now we face a threat greater than ever before.
With a description like that, this sounds like the dumbest movie ever made.
Right? It does.
It's because when I was trying to write out what it was, I'm like, how do you make this movie not sound insane?
It does sound insane.
Yeah, but it's not.
I know, and that's the thing. And the characters, you see the trailer for this.
Yeah.
And you've got the Santa who has his, you know, really heavy accent, and he's got the big tattoos, and he's like this big tough guy. And I'm like, this is ridiculous.
But he has Wookiees.
He does have Wookiees.
He has Wookiees.
He has Wookiees and creepy little elves.
Oh, my God. It's the greatest Santa ever. I love this. Because he was so out there.
Because he is this big, long, strong, like, bull. Santa
Moose
Claus.
And squirrel.
Yeah. And he's got tattooed arms and the Wookiee army. And
they're Yetis. They're Yetis. Let's tell everybody that they're Yetis. They're not Wookiees.
They're totally
Wookiees. This is not a Disney movie.
It should be, though. Totally Wookiees.
They do it. It's funny.
And they got little weirdo elves.
They're creepy.
It is the greatest Santa's Workshop ever.
It is.
Because movies like this always end up just overdoing the Santa's Workshop things. Like stuff like Polar Express and Santa Claus. And
yeah, it's always so fluffy and sweet and cutesy. And
everyone has
this is not fluffy and cutesy.
I know. It's actually quite, if you went there on the wrong day, it could be terrifying.
Yeah.
So, I loved this Santa. It was voiced by Alec Baldwin, of all people.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And so it's great. And it's all the characters, everybody has like power, like Santa's running around with swords.
Yes. Swords.
This is the best part.
And the Easter Bunny is big and angry and he's bitter.
He's got a boomerang because he's Australian and he's voiced by Hugh Jackman. It is so awesome. It's a way better X-Men movie than Breaking Dawn was.
Yes. I will agree with you there.
I didn't know much about this movie, actually. I will admit, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't see many of the trailers. I saw some standees.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of went in very cold, not knowing anything about it. And I just fell in love with this thing.
Me too.
Second time.
I was skeptical.
Yeah.
You know, with all the characters, I thought this is going to be the biggest fail.
Yeah.
And it is so much fun.
Mm-hmm. And it's got Guillermo del Toro as a producer.
Yes, which
totally makes sense.
Totally makes sense because it is dark. There are some times when it is dark and scary, but
it's
sometimes
intense.
When it's really sweet too. Mm-hmm. And I brought my brother-in-law to the screening, and he was talking about how it's so much like Toy Story 3 at times because of the whole childlike wonder of it all. And it really is adorable, too.
Yeah. It gets a little corny in that sort of the second to third act transition, but it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
It is. So that's okay. And the other thing is I think this movie could not have been made in a pre-Harry Potter world. Because the villain in it, who's played by Jude Law, does the voice. He's a terrifying villain, and he has evil horses made out of black, dangerous sand that have glowing red eyes. It is a terrifying villain. But if you consider the Harry Potter movies, this is nothing.
Oh yeah, no big deal.
So yeah, it's a beautiful looking movie, and oh my, it was such fun. I mean, such fun. I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I really did.
Yeah, I kept thinking because I was looking. I did take a quick look at the numbers before I went just to see, you know, how reviews were going so far. And I rarely do that, but this one I looked at and it wasn't looking that good.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking during the movie, what would I have to say bad about this movie? And I couldn't really think of anything.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to be contrarian, you can. You can do that to any movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it really has this, it gives this weird, just but it's a very weird but relevant and workable superhero angle to these characters.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've seen that before or done effectively like that before.
No, definitely not.
So, yeah, I mean, I gave it a total rocks. I love it.
Oh, yeah, I agree. It rocks. And I hear that there is more to come. So I'm looking forward to more.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's just such a cool movie. It was one of those just beautiful surprises. Dragged myself out of bed to go see it on a Saturday morning with my son, and we had a blast.
Yeah.
Wookiees. Yeah. Santa Wookiees. How could you get? Could you be any better than Santa Wookiees?
I don't think so.
I dare you to beat Santa Wookiees. So Santa Wookiees, I want an army of Santa Wookiees for myself so I can take over countries. I would be the worst.
Take over countries with Santa Wookiees?
I would be a villain from like a Shazam comic.
Nice. Would
it'd be like Fat Guy and the Santa Wookiees. Captain Marvel would come in with his tiger. He has a tiger. Talking tiger?
There's a tiger.
Mr. Tawny.
Is it a Bengal tiger on a lifeboat?
No, he's on a lifeboat. He talks, though.
Oh.
Yeah, he wears a suit.
The tiger in Life of Pi didn't talk.
No, he didn't wear a suit either.
But his name was Richard Parker.
That was great. That's a great line. Anyways, dude, what'd you say? What's your grade on The Guardians?
It rocks.
Totally rocks.
Yep.
Fat Guy, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Let's move into box office prediction. Okay, reigning box office champ.
Oh, no,
champ.
It's your turn.
It's my turn?
It is your turn because I went first last week.
You know what? I didn't even, you know, I'm going to say, well, here's the thing. Breaking Dawn was $141 million this weekend. It's, if it follows the pattern, you know, even then it still followed the pattern. It's just, it's off within a $10 million radius. It's probably going to have a 70% drop, you know, so you're looking at, you know, it might end up still making 35, 40 million this weekend.
You think that's it? What are we counting as the weekend, though?
Oh, well, technically, you want to talk the five-day spread?
Right.
Oh, gosh, you know, yeah, I don't know. I'm really kind of up in the air. I still think, I don't think Life of Pi is going to do terribly well because I don't think it's terribly accessible.
No, I don't think so.
I'd love to see it do well, but I think it's going to be Cloud Atlas numbers.
Yeah.
10, 15 million.
I can see that.
I think.
And Rise of the Guardians, you know, it's not something that a lot of people have heard of.
Yeah.
I think.
It's getting a lot of heavy play on the kids' networks, but I could see it doing better than, say, like last year, the Muppets lost to Twilight in its second run. I wouldn't be surprised. Twilight could win a second weekend. What I could see happen is that it would win. It could win, like, the weekend, but it would lose the five-day spread. I think you're going to get a lot of families going to see Rise of the Guardians on Wednesday, on Thursday, Friday. I mean, it's just every day is a kid's movie.
I look at the Muppets from last year, and that was something that everybody was really excited to see.
Yeah.
And we'd been talking about that for ages.
Yeah.
And it still took second place to Twilight.
Yeah.
So, and Twilight was in its second week.
Stupid Twilight.
I know. Just saying.
I'm going to, okay, I'll throw out some numbers. I'm going to say $50 million for Rise of the Guardians, $45 million for Breaking Dawn.
So you're going to give it to Guardians?
Yes. For the 5 days.
For the 5 day.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to Breaking Dawn.
Okay.
And for the 5 day, now I looked and last year, Breaking Dawn, the first one made in the 60s.
Okay, for the 5 day spread. So
yes.
So what is the number?
So I'm going to give it.
45 million and one.
58.
Okay. So, and then what do you think the Guardians is going to do?
What did you say?
Play the Jeopardy theme?
Yeah, I know. What did you say?
I said it would make 50 million.
That's what I was going to say.
Real quick. What is it?
I'll say 50 million and one.
50 million and $1. Okay. When we come back, we're going to do DVDs.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
That's me. Nice. Sorry, I just thought I'd throw some show tunes into this.
That wasn't really show tuney.
Well,
you'll
have
to sing a little bit more.
A bit of a sore throat.
Oh, okay.
Well, I must have been a mouth breather last night.
Next week.
I will take my chloroseptic. I don't know why I said it like that.
I don't either.
I'm like my grandmother. Would you like some chloroseptic to help your throat? This has nothing to do about movies,
your
people.
Your grandmother sound like that, really?
No, I don't know where I go. Somehow my grandmother is from like a sitcom from the 80s or something.
So anyway, we just got done talking about the box office and all the craziness that will happen over the holiday weekend.
And who will win?
Yes. The crazy.
You get to throw out the number next week first.
Okay, write it down.
I'll write it down. I'm not going to write it down. I won't remember.
I know.
I am
and I will
not that organized.
You to not remembering.
Okay.
Okay, so now it is time for the DVD roundup.
There we are. Yeehaw.
There is nothing to talk about this week.
No, it's a terrible week. And you'd
it's
think,
a really boring week.
You'd think the week of Black Friday, you would have great DVDs.
You would think so. But yeah, I'm looking at this list thinking, nope. No.
Because nothing says Christmas like The Expendables 2.
Right.
With Sylvester Stallone.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. Bam, bam, bam.
Ho, ho, ho.
Kablammo. Did you see The Expendables 2?
I didn't. I saw the first one. I missed the second one.
The first one was kind of, you know, it was in spirit.
It was fun for a while.
Yeah.
And then,
Mickey Rourke shows up.
Everything's better with Mickey Rourke.
I don't know about that. A hot fudge sundae would not be better with Mickey Rourke.
You don't think so?
I've never said to him, like, you know what this hot fudge sundae is missing? Some sweaty Mickey Rourke. Like old Mickey Rourke, like greasy Mickey Rourke, or like sweaty, like wrestler Mickey Rourke with his giant sausage fingers.
Mm-hmm.
I want sausage now. Expendables 2. It's not bad. It's actually pretty good. It's way better than the first one because they take themselves less seriously.
Well, that's good, because that's what that movie needs.
Yeah. The next one on the list is The Obama Effect, and half the people are covering this, half the people aren't. It's a small little movie. Mm-hmm. Did you ever hear about it?
Yeah, I heard of it.
It's like Charles Dutton stars as a guy who kind of becomes a campaigner for Obama. It's a bit of a shill, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think, but I put it on the list because I think it would be, it's completely irrelevant now that the guy's won a second
term. Yeah, it does seem a little irrelevant to be coming out now after the election is over.
I think it's great, like, viewing partnership with 2016 Obama's America.
Mm-hmm.
Do a double feature with that.
Yep.
And then fight. Then do, a bloody smackdown in your living room.
Bloody smackdown.
Arm wrestle on whether or not your state should secede from the Union. So that's what you can do.
Okay.
Then Game of Thrones, the completely first season.
The completely first season. Somebody was paying attention when you wrote up this week's notes.
Who wrote that? Isn't this the sixth time they've released Game of Thrones the first season?
I have no idea.
They have released this three times.
But now it's the completely first season, so this is different.
I'm sure that's exactly what it said on the press release. Game of, I don't watch it. It's HBO. I'm way too cheap to buy TV. And then there's also Tarantino XX. Is that 20? I don't know what that means. Is it 20 years for 20 years of Tarantino?
I have no idea.
It's his 8 film collection.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing. I'm a little bit skeptical on this one because I think Tarantino's done some good movies.
Oh, yeah.
Done really good movies.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy needs to stop smoking so much pot and make more movies. But now he's already talking about retiring. Did you hear about that?
No.
Yeah, he's
really?
He's kind of like,
what else is he going to do?
I don't smoke a lot of pot.
I guess so.
And try to bang actresses in Hollywood, which he's been doing for the last 20 years. So, but here's the thing with the 8 film collection. It's got 8
films.
And
this is also the 8 film collection, actually, in your notes here. Weren't you just talking about how literate you are?
I was completely drunk when I made
this. A little while ago?
Don't judge me.
I'm not judging.
Don't judge me.
This is a it's that little guy on your shoulder.
Exactly. He was
narrating. He can't spell.
He has no idea. He doesn't even know what film is. Anyways, there's only 7 films in this collection that Tarantino directed.
In this 8 film collection, there's only 7 films?
Only 7 films. Like they also have True Romance, which is directed by the late Tony Scott.
Right.
And it's almost like I wonder if the people – this is in such bad taste. But I'm going to launch this anyways out there and I want people to sign a petition. I think the people who put this together actually were involved in the murder of Tony Snow and made it – not Tony Snow. he's dead already, I think. Tony Scott. And they murdered Tony Scott so that they could put that film into the collection.
Well, thank you to our new affiliates. It was nice having you.
I'm throwing out conspiracy theories involving Quentin Tarantino and Tony Snow. Oh, heavens.
Oh, dear.
You may not still be listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Let's talk about something more light and fluffy. Let's talk about Cinderella.
Yes.
Disney has released the 2-pack of Cinderella 2 and Cinderella 3, A Twist in Time on Blu-ray.
Didn't they just do that?
They just did Cinderella.
I know.
The Diamond Edition.
I do have that one.
But they just, and then this is the two-pack. And actually, Cinderella 3 is not bad. It's a sort of a Shrek-y kind of go back.
Shrek-y?
Well, it's sort of the same plot as Shrek 4.
Okay.
But it was made
I was
going to
say, are there ogres?
There's no ogres okay. and no Tonking Donkeys.
All right.
There's mice. But anyway, Cinderella 3 is a kind of one. It's a time travel one. There's also Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the complete series. I think this is the original series.
Awesome.
So if you need some sugar cereal to go with that, you can probably find some somewhere. Anyways, there's also Different Strokes Season 4.
What you talking about?
What you talking about, Willis? How many people are... Did you know how many people... Here's the thing that's crazy about Different Strokes.
Okay.
Gary Coleman, dead. Dana Plato, dead. Todd Bridges, career's over. He was in jail. Conrad Bain? That guy's still alive.
Wow.
Yeah, Mr. Drive, at least last time I checked, a couple months ago, but I could check that. We were supposed to, I was supposed to show you
Lindsay Lohan's teeth.
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan's teeth.
We missed it.
Well, we'll report on that next week.
Yeah.
Conrad Bain outlasted Lindsay Lohan's teeth. Also, okay. Oh, this is also before, this is before the Bicycle Man episode, which was the one, did you watch Different Strokes when you were
a kid? Oh, yeah.
That was the one, the child molester episode where
right.
where the Maytag repairman was a child molester. Gordon Jump from WKRP in Cincinnati. And it was
okay.
It was also before the Ghostbusters episode with Ray Bolger. Do you remember that episode?
I'm not as old as you are.
You will be. You will be. And also from the good folks at Disney who gave us the Cinderella sequels, you have Santa Paws 2, The Santa Pups. These are the Air Buddies. Do you watch the Air Buddies movies?
I haven't.
They're cute.
But I know I'm going to have to start now.
Yeah.
It was one of those things that before I was like, eh, maybe not. But now I know I'm going to have to watch them all.
They're very cute. They're very standard and they're very formulaic. But they're cute. They're and
they're
these
puppies.
Are like Christmas movies and they're puppies.
They're puppies.
So
every kid loves puppies and talking puppies.
Yeah.
You don't get any better than that.
They're cute. And I enjoy them for what they are. I mean, they're not high art.
No.
They're not... Life of Pi. Not Life of
Life
Popeyes.
Of puppies.
Popeyes? That would be a great... Wouldn't it be great if Life of Pi, it wasn't a Bengal tiger, but it was like
it was
Popeye the Sailor Man?
Oh, no. I think it should be a puppy. A playful, playful puppy.
Oh.
Oh. And he keeps yapping and yapping. And jumping up and pawing. Oh, that would be a cute movie.
Where's the conflict? You peed on the boat. How dare you pee on the boat? We're over the boat. That's my question. That's my one big question about Life of Pi, because this is what it always comes down to for me. Like Scrubs pointed out, medicine is all about poo. Where was all the tiger poo? There should have been tons of tiger poo in that boat.
It's true.
There really should have been. I mean, I understand why there wasn't, like, Indian
well, you know,
guy boo. Poo. Boo.
There was a big tarp. That, you know, the tiger hid under.
So you're saying maybe, that the tiger had the presence of mind to go under there to poo?
Maybe.
And not over the side of the boat.
It was a trained tiger. You know,
it, no, it
lived
wasn't.
In a zoo.
It was trained in the fact that I can't get past these bars.
Well, yeah. You know, it knew its place.
Know your place. You would be a terrible zookeeper.
I know that.
Anyways, was there any other DVDs you wanted to highlight before you hit the stinker?
No, I don't think there's anything else.
The stinker of the week is Heaven's Gate on Blu-ray. Have you ever seen Heaven's Gate?
No.
I couldn't make it through Heaven's Gate. It's Michael Cimino. Do you remember? Do you even know anything about this movie?
Mm-mm.
At the time, it was the most expensive bomb ever made. And it was a follow-up to The Deer Hunter. And The Deer Hunter is a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven's Gate's not. It's boring. It's about building a roller rink in the Old West.
Okay.
Yeah, you heard me.
Yeehaw.
That's right. We went there. Anyways, review wrap-up. Red Dawn, I said kind of rocks. Life of Pi, I said totally rocks. You said...
Kind
of
rocks.
Kind of rocks. Rise of the Guardians, we both...
Yay.
Rock! Yes, Santa and the Wookiees. Bring Santa and the Wookiee to me. Box office prediction. Kristen, the reigning champion, is predicting $58 million for Breaking Dawn Part 2. And $50 million plus $1 for Rise of the Guardians. Curse you. My prediction is $50 million for Rise of the Guardians, $45 million for Breaking Dawn, over the 5-day span.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even ask us to get more detail than that.
No.
Next week, we're going to be talking
Don't even
about
ask us to remember that next week.
I have it written down. It'll get thrown away. The Collection, Killing Them Softly, Hitchcock. Talk to you guys next week.